श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी पुरुषोत्तमा क्षेत्र धाम की गंगा माए की यमुना माए की भक्ति देव की श्रीमती तुलसी देवी महारानी की रंतरा श्रीमद भगवतम की हरिनाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Samabeta Bhakta Vrinda Ki. All glories to the Sambal devotees. All glories to the Sambal devotees. All glories to the Sambal devotees. All glories to Sri Shri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam Namaskritim. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayanudiraye Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Srimad Bhagavatam class. We are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5. Chapter 18, entitled The Residents of Jambu Dweep Offer Prayers. This is text 5 and 6. Bishwat Bhavasthana Nirodha Karmate. Bishwat Bhavasthana Nirodha Karmate. Bishwat Bhavasthana Nirodha Karmate. Hyakar Twangir Kritam Api Apavritaha. Hyakar tur angi kritan apya pavrita. Hyakar tur angi kritam apya pavrita. Yuktam nachitram tvai karya karane. Yuktam nachitram tvai karya karane. Sarvatmani vyatirikte cha vastuta. Sarvatmani vyatirikte cha vastuta. Sarvatmani vyatirikte cha vastuta. Bishwat Bhavasthana Nirodha Karmate. Bishwat Bhavasthana Nirodha Karmate. Hyakar tur angi kritan apya pavrita. Hyakar tu angi kritam apya pavrita. Yuktam nachitram tvai karya karane. Yuktam nachitram tvai karya karane. Sarvat mani vyatirikte cha vastuta. Sarvat mani vyatirikte cha vastuta. Bishwat Bhavasthana Nirodha Karmate. Hyakar tur angi kritan apya pavrita. Yuktam nachitram tvai karya karane. sarvatmani vyatirikte cha vastuta. Vishwa of the whole universe, Utbhava of the creation, Sthana of the maintenance, Nirodha of the annihilation, Karma, these activities of you, O dear Lord. He, indeed, akartu, aloof, angirkritam, still accepted by the Vedic literature. Api, although, apavritaha, untouched by all these activities. Yuktam, befitting. Na, not. Chitram, wonderful. Twayi, and you. Karya, Karani, the original cause of all effects. Sarva Atmani, in all respects. Vyatirikte, set apart. Cha, also, Vastutah, the original substance. In translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Lord, although you are completely detached from the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material world, and are not directly affected by these activities, they are all attributed to you. We do not wonder at this, for your inconceivable energies perfectly qualify you to be the cause of all causes. You are the active principle in everything, although you are separate from everything. Thus, we can realize that everything is happening because of your inconceivable energy. So text 6. Vedan yugante tamasa niraskritam rasattalat yonrituranga vigraha pratyada devai kavaye viachate tasmai namaste vitate hitayati. translation. At the end of the millennium, ignorance personified assumed the form of a demon, stole all the Vedas, and took them down to the planet of Rasa-Atala. The Supreme Lord, however, in his form of higher grief, retrieved the Vedas and returned them to Lord Brahma. When he begged for them, "I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, whose determination never fails." Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Although Vedic knowledge is imperishable, within this material world it is sometimes manifest and sometimes not. When the people of this material world become too absorbed in ignorance, the Vedic knowledge disappears. Lord Hayagriva, or Lord Matsya, however, always protects the Vedic knowledge, and in due course of time, it is again distributed through the medium of Lord Brahma. Brahma is the trustworthy representative of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, when he again asked for the treasure of Vedic knowledge, the Lord fulfilled his desire. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Pachalam Pangulangayate Kirim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Dinataranam Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyai Pacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Pasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So here we are continuing with the prayers of Kim Bhadrasrava. He's with the son of Dharmaraj. This chapter is called "The Residents of Shambhadip Offer Prayers." So the prayers of the devotees are always full of gratitude and appreciation for the Lord. And whatever they are explaining in their prayers, it is confirmed in all in Vedic literatures and by the Lord Himself. There are not adulations. Or sometimes we may praise someone, but too much. Like with politicians and some people, or the president, they start glorifying someone, but like the Nobel Prize, for example, that Obama was given by the Nobel Prize, and he said, I didn't start even my, I have a few months ruling the country, and they are giving me the Nobel Prize. Sometimes we glorify without knowledge, out of sentiment, sometimes of trying to obtain something from that person. Different moods. But the devotees, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam, when they pray, they are praying from the heart, but also with knowledge. They are being empowered by the Lord to pray. So in the first text, it is explained in this way: you are completely detached from the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material world, and are not directly affected by these activities. They are all attributed to you. So these are statements that the Lord is responsible for the, indirectly responsible for the creation, responsible for the maintenance, and responsible for the annihilation. And he also confirms that in Bhagavad Gita, he himself is confirmed also in, we know, Janmadhyaya Syayataha Itarata Chartiso Bhige Swarat in Srimad Bhagavatam by Vyasadev. He explained that the Supreme Lord Vasudev, he is the cause of all causes. Like Lord Brahma said, Sarva Karana Karanam. And Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, I am the beginning, the middle, and the end. At the same time, here the appreciation is not that he's not only the creator, and the maintainer, and the annihilator. He's also not affected. He's detached by these all activities. Like he explained in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is not responsible even for the activities, especially sinful activities of the living entities. He explained that there are three factors in creation, three doers: the material nature, the Lord, and the living entity. And the Lord explained that he's just like we saw in previous verses, that he's only allowing this, sanctioning the activities of the living entities, pious or impious, as Paramatma, but he's not responsible, because these activities come from the desire from the living entity to perform. So in many ways, he's involved in creation, at the same time he is aloof. So in Bhagavad Gita, he said, mayam itam, can you help me? Mayam tatam idam sarvam. That he's providing all this creation, and he's manifesting this creation. One, also he explained the word is constantly. It's manifesting, annihilating one another. And he explained, all beings are in me, but I am not in them. He started explaining the aspect of his Aishvarya Jnana, or inconceivable opulence of the Lord. And he gives an analogy in Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, explaining that as the sky is containing everything, the wind, it still is detached from everything. So in the same way, the Lord is detached from all his creation, although all his creation is in him. Like we have an example of a vase, some container, that it will contain air inside. So the air can flow, but it's limited by the container. In the same way, this material creation, material sky, is containing the wind, is limiting the movements of the wind, but it's not taking out the independence of the wind to move. In the same way, the Lord, he contains all the living entities, but at the same time, the living entities are independent. Although they are dependent of the Lord, he makes them also independent. So they can move, but they are limited in their movements by the, in this case, by the limitations of the universe and many limitations we have. But still we have that independence. And that independence is what the Lord is respecting as Paramatma. He's sanctioning according to our desires and activities. So this first aspect of the Lord, he's been appreciated, that he's detached. We can see that we are also, as independent and dependent entities of the Lord, we have qualities of the Lord, so we are also creators. Like Lord Brahma is creator also. In the next verse is explained that he's in charge of this universe. So we can be in charge of a universe, we can be in charge of a family, in charge of country in many ways. And we have a trust, the Lord trust in us when he's giving us different responsibilities. Like Lord Brahma is being trusted with the whole universe by the Lord. So we can act according to the will of the Lord, like Lord Brahma, or we can also use this independent and will that we have to act independently from the plan of the Lord, trying. And then when we act in that way, we are subjected to Maya, or to the external energy of the Lord. We are no more under the plan, directly plan of the Lord, but we become subjected to the love of nature, etc., and we are carried away in different ways. So the living entity has this independence to act, and Lord Brahma is in charge of the whole universe. And when he notices some problems, he will call the Lord, and the Lord will act for him. However, the Lord is not attached to what is happening here. It's not like he's worried, like in Christian literature sometimes, of pictures, the Lord is shown as someone who is suffering from everyone. And when we explain to them that Krishna is always happy and enjoying, he has a joyful mood, they feel that as a disqualification. How dear Lord can be happy with so much suffering going on here? So that's another inconceivable aspect of the Lord. He's participating in this creation, but at the same time he's detached. At the same time he feels compassion for the living entities and he's worried. At the same time he's enjoying. It is said here, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, whose determination never fails. That determination is in connection with helping the living entities. For example, here it is described that he comes as Matsya or Hayagriva, and Prabhupada explained, always protects the Vedic knowledge. Brahma is the trustworthy representative of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, when he again asks for the treasure of Vedic knowledge, the Lord fulfills his desire. So out of the compassion and determined to help the living entities in this material world and bring them back to Godhead, the Lord is concerned. At the same time, he's totally detached from what is going on in here. He can control the whole universe through his avyakta aspect, which is his unmanifested form, through his energies, but he also can enter into the creation as a personality, as an avatar. So he has many ways to control, indirectly, directly. In other words, the Lord has many aspects to be appreciated. But there are the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is complete. It's present a philosophy that appreciates the whole aspect of the Lord. His own Purnam is complete. But there are many understandings of God which are incomplete. Our understanding makes emphasis in the personal aspect of the Lord. Therefore, here in the prayers also are personal, although here are appreciating that indirect aspect of the Lord of creation. So we can understand how incomplete is to appreciate the Lord only few aspects and not the whole aspect by the example of prasadam, for example. We have if we cook a meal, a whole prasadam, like yesterday, Thanksgiving, and we invite everyone to come, and we say, now you can enjoy the prasadam, but only smelling. So that smelling pervades the whole room, the whole wedding hall where we take prasadam Sunday. And we say, well, enjoy. Smell, this is, what is a smell? This is pakora. This is pizza. Do you like it? Yeah, smell nice. And this, but we have different smells. So we say, okay, enjoy. So the ananda aspect is not there. So you can, it's more like a theoretical knowledge. Like, okay. Yeah, that must be pizza, we analyze. Smell like something like that. So appreciating some aspect of the Lord won't bring happiness to the full happiness. Just an understanding. We are trying to understand. And then maybe if we progress a little bit in the relationship with the devotees, they will say, okay, you are allowed now to see the prasadam. So now all the preparation will be bring. Like when we have some festivals, and we have all the preparation that are being offered to the Lord first, and then they come out and everyone starts looking. So I may get or I may not get one. It depends on the devotees. So okay, we go to the feast and the prasadam is there and we can see it. And there are more understanding now of what is there, but we cannot enjoy it because we are just seeing the prasadam. So still that complete ananda is not there. So one is not satisfied with these two aspects. Okay, it's nice, I can see, I can smell, but I cannot really enjoy. In the same way, the Lord has different aspects, like Paramatma of Brahman, Avyakta aspect of Murtinak, who is providing. But just appreciating that aspect, it's okay, but we have to understand that he's a person, and there is a way to relate with the Lord, to make a relationship. And that when we start that relationship is when we start, this example, when we interact with the prasadam. When we smell and when we see, there is no interaction. Everything is in this level. But when I touch the prasadam, I took a place in my mouth, start eating, then there is a complete realization of the prasadam. We have that experience. And then there is ananda and satisfaction. So Srimad Bhagavatam was meant to taste the Lord. Rasika Bhuvi Babu Kaha is to be tasted. It's the knowledge that we are having here is so majestic that it's not giving a theoretical understanding of the Lord. It's allowing the reader to interact with the Lord, to render service by listening, by hearing about guna, qualities, nama, names, etc. When Vyasadev, he compiled all other literatures, like ending with Mahabharata and all the other Upanishads, the problem was that he didn't describe the Lord pastime fully, and he didn't make an emphasis on the Lord. Therefore, he wasn't satisfied. It was all in the theoretical aspect. He couldn't feel full satisfaction. But then when he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, he, from the very beginning, he points out the who is the object of this book, which is Krishna. And he explained all his qualities in the book, all his pastime, etc., in such a way that just by reading this book, you can taste and you can have a relationship with the Lord. I wanted to focus on this quality only. Then she said, "We do not wonder at this, for your inconceivable energy perfectly qualify you to be the cause of all causes. You are the active principle in everything, although you are separate from everything. Thus we can realize that everything is happening because of your inconceivable energy." So when we interact with the world and do things, like we create things, we maintain things, and we are attached to these aspects. We want some credit for what we do, and we want recognition. And we identify even our roles with what we do. Who are you? I am the maintainer of the temple of this. And you, I am the creator of this wonderful company or this, even in the temple. I'm the creator of this room. I created the kitchen. I did this. And I am the annihilator of the mouse, annihilator of insects, or the bad aspects. Wherever is creating problems to the devotees, I am the annihilator. So we may have different roles as creator, maintainer, and annihilator, and we identify with that role, and we are very attached to this. We are attached how to do it, recognition, many things, etc. But the Lord, he's not attached. Still, he wants them to, he asks the living entities to somehow acknowledge that. When we are not recognized by some activities that we do, for example, being responsible for creating something that nobody acknowledges, and people say, "Who bought this van for the temple?" And we say, "We don't know. I think it was bought by Himanshu, for example." And they say, "I bought it," and they are saying that he bought. "I donated this van, so I have to do something." They are giving the credit to him. "So I have to write maybe or send someone who can testify that I did it. So I will send my emissary to explain the situation, my avatar, to explain who is here, the creator, who is the responsible." So I send someone, and he will explain. I want to explain to everyone that this band was bought by Himanshu. No, but Himanshu was bought by this devotee. And I will show you the paper, the shastras, so you should glorify him. So this is not the way the Lord wants us to know him. When the Lord is detached for everything, and he creates everything, but then we don't acknowledge that. We say, "Who is the creator?" Or maybe the Big Bang, maybe, I don't know, someone must be, but not this Krishna, not this God. Maybe there are many creators, or people from other planets. There are many theories, scientific theory, like crazy theories, many. And the Lord is always sending. When he said that when he sees that everyone is not acknowledging him, not respecting his law and his rules, he sends an emissary, but not in the same mood of the living entity. Like, he's not suffering. Oh, nobody believes in me. I did everything for you, and now the living entities are not respecting me, not praying for me. They say that this stupid Big Bang created everything, and I did everything with love for you. So how painful is life? You do everything for someone and then nobody cares about you. I'm here alone. That not soon after, I am in my abode and here, and nobody knows me. I'm such a wonderful personality. I have 64 qualities. Nobody acknowledges me in this material world, so I should send someone and who can explain everything, so people will acknowledge me. So this is not the mood of the Lord when he wants us to come here. The mood is different. It's not like us suffering because we are not being acknowledged. So he wants the living entities to be happy, and he happens to be the source of happiness. He happens to be. So he wants them to come back to him so they can be happy and enjoy this ananda. So this prasadam, this mercy. So therefore he sends sometimes his emissary, sometimes he sends his own incarnations, and sometimes he comes himself and reclaims and explains, like the Bhagavad Gita, the truth. What is the truth of the things? In a detached mood. If you want to acknowledge, acknowledge. If you don't want to acknowledge me, I know that you are a fool and you will suffer. And birth after birth. But that's your election. But I'm giving you this knowledge. For example, in England, the British, they stole the Vedic knowledge. Like here, once Prabhupada says, sometimes Vedic knowledge is manifest and sometimes unmanifest. So we have an example in the 20th century, 19th century, the British took the Vedic knowledge and they presented it as mythology in the English language. And they tried to convince people there in India that it was a foolish knowledge. How can a monkey lift a mountain? Come on, go to common sense. A monkey can do anything. The Ramayana is only monkey business. It's not real. So they presented it in such a way that people will laugh. If you say that this is real, as a mythology is a very good literature. So they stole. Yeah, they took it from the Sanskrit, put in English language. But as you cannot cut something, if you don't cut the root of something, you cannot extinguish. So they cannot go to the root of this Vedic knowledge. Nobody can go to the root. Destroy the root because it's eternal. This knowledge is eternal. Like if you are in a garden and there are weeds, and you pull them out, but they grow up again. So even if you try to take them out, they are like eternal in the garden. They come out. So in the same way, you can try to hide the Vedic knowledge, but it will come back. So in this, the British, they took out this knowledge and put in English language and mythology, and then what happened? Krishna sent Srila Prabhupada. He came in the same language, and he put in evidence, and he brought back everything started growing out again like weeds. And they are now like, no, it's coming all this again. because this knowledge is manifest and the manifest sometimes, but always come back, because that's the plan of the Lord. So this knowledge is again back, and is pervading, it will pervade everything, like Prabhupada explained, finally. So now it's coming back again to the academic fields. There are many devotees who are getting degrees and studying and teaching in universities, and they are taking out this mythology and putting new books, new writings, etc., to establish the Lord. So that's Prabhupada brought back the understanding of the Vedas and brought back this Vedic knowledge that sometimes is manifest and sometimes unmanifest, all these wonderful aspects of the Lord, so we can taste this knowledge and not be with impartial, incomplete conception of the Lord, that they will never bring happiness. That there are many books about God, but they don't give happiness, and therefore people become atheists because they are trying to enjoy some impersonal aspect of the Lord, and this is impossible to enjoy. At least you are being presented with the whole aspect, the Purnam aspect of the Lord, so you can interact and have a relationship. I think I will stop here.
I just have a quick comment that the discussion brought up.
That's good.
I was thinking of Richard Dawkins and one of his disdainful ramblings about how Christianity is petty because God is a jealous God. He's jealous of the activities we're doing here. He's putting so many laws in order to restrict us, and if we break those laws, it becomes very disturbing to him. And then he had to come down as Jesus Christ in order to relieve us of our sins. And he describes this description of God as very petty.
Petty,
because he's like, here's a God who's the creator of the whole cosmos, of which Earth is just like an insignificant speck. Why is it the activities of the specks within the speck so important to him that he's vengeful and he's envious and he's angry? So he says this conception of God is quite petty, which we would have to tend to agree with. It is petty. So I was saying how the importance of having a conception of God as being detached from us is so essential. And also it displaces us from the center, because if we only see God in relationship to us, then we are still the center of attention. What I'm doing, I'm being judged, I'm still the center. But with a conception of God being detached from us and having his own existence separate from us, that means we have to participate in his life, and that he becomes the center, so we're obliged to become a part of his existence because he's detached from us. Whereas if he's so attached to us, then it gives a conception of God where he's obliged to be participate in our existence, which is petty and insignificant. And so that I just wanted to, it came to mind, I was remembering Richard Dawkins, unfortunately. But he expresses disgust for this conception of God that is so attached to petty affairs of the entities of this insignificant planet and an insignificant universe.
Yeah, why he's trying to mess our activities. And that's a nice point. Very nice example.
Hare Krishna. I've been inquiring about this recently, and through your class this came up, and I realized I'm still not clear on this point. You were using the example of food and aroma to explain how there's different levels of understanding God, and that the final understanding is when you actually get to interact with the prasadam, then you experience happiness. So my question is, I've heard that Brahman is the sat feature of the Lord, existence. And so, because there's no Chitrananda, it's not complete happiness. But there is some happiness in Brahman. So what if there is no Chit or Ananda in Brahman, what is that happiness? Sorry. Where is that happiness coming from? What exactly is that feeling of happiness that comes from Brahman?
As far as I heard, is when you You are suffering here in the material world. So when you go, you get this first level of liberation, of Brahman, there is a relief by being in the Brahmajyoti, where there is not activity there for the soul, but although the soul is active. So the type of ananda there, compared with the ananda that will come by the realization of the Lord, is nothing. Why? Because it's like, if you have, there is a difference between relief and real happiness by performing activities. But we have examples every day, or especially days that we are very tired, that we work all day, and then we are disgusted with all this day that we have, and we are very tired, and we're just thinking, I just want to merge in my bed, in my sleeping bag, and forget everything. Maybe sleep for ages, like Muchukunda. When we go to sleep, we don't want to do anything. We feel sheltered there, and we forget about everything, and we sleep, and there is a relief. There is a kind of happiness. Like also you recharge, you know? You're there. But after a few hours, you start there, and maybe you are waking up, and you say, maybe I will sleep a few hours more. And then you merge again. But sooner or later, you want to come back. After you rest for many hours, you want to come back to perform activities again. Because there is that happiness that you are getting lying there isn't regarding to all the distress that you were having before. It's not a permanent situation for the living entity to sleep, I mean for human beings. It's a between thing. And then you have to come back. Otherwise there won't be complete happiness. It's incomplete. And it's just a relief. So therefore in Brahman, Prabhupada explained that you are in the Brahmajyoti, but sooner or later you come back to the platform, or even to the material platform, or you have to go up. So therefore he explained that impersonally they come back to perform pious activities in the material world, something. Even if you are in the platform of Brahman, because you have to do something, to perform activities. So it's like smelling at first, the prasanna, there is some happiness before you didn't smell anything and you're hungry. So it gives you some relief for some time, but then sooner or later you want to taste it. So therefore that ananda, that there are some ananda in Brahmajyoti. And Rupa Goswami compares, he said, Sandra Ananda Vishisatma. He said that the highest realization is Sandra Ananda. It's so condensed that there is no other place for other type of happiness. It's like this. When the atoms are together, so close, you cannot put even a, especially in cement, you cannot put a pin in there. Like, there is no way. But if you have a earth, maybe it fits another type of things. So in the highest realization of happiness, there is no place for this Brahman realization, happiness. It's like nothing. It doesn't fit because it's so condensed, the happiness, that, and so fulfilling that there is no, other things are not considered happiness. But the happiness that we get in the Chapala Sukha, in the material world, it's like water, like anything can fit there, other type of happiness. So this happiness that we get the high happiness we can get here, maybe in the mood of goodness, but compare that to liberation, is something, liberation may be better. But the highest realization of devotional service is, cannot consider this as happiness. So therefore there is no ananda in Brahma. if you understand from the point of view of Bhagavan, there is no place for Ananda in Brahman, even in Paramatma. But if you understand from the lower type of Ananda, the material happiness and liberation, then there is some happiness. But a devotee will feel like hell, that realization. Okay, yes, please.
The happiness in Brahman is the Ananda feature of the Lord. We generally tend to think of it as, here's Brahman over here, here's Paramatma over here, and Bhagavan over there, and they have no connection to it. It's one absolute truth. And so all the qualities of the absolute truth are in all the features of the Lord, but it's a spectrum. It's not like, here's Sat, here's Chit, here's Ananda. It's a spectrum of the three together. So then the Ananda experience in Brahman is not the same as the Ananda experience in Bhagavan realization. But the bliss experience in Brahman is the Ananda feature of the Lord.
It's coming from the Lord.
It's coming from the Lord. It is the Lord. It's the absolute truth. Yeah. It's just like when we have the analogy of the sun and the sun globe and the sun god. It's all one, like, kind of absolute truth. But then the sun ray, the quality of heat and light in the sun ray is not the same intensity as the heat and light on the sun globe. But it's not like the sun ray doesn't have heat and light, and only the sun globe does. So it's a spectrum. So the happiness in Brahman is coming from the Lord. It is the Ananda feature of the Lord that's being experienced. But it's only being experienced as atmaramata, self-satisfaction, and satisfied with the self. It's not experienced in terms of exchange, interaction, which is what we at least consider to be a higher feature of Ananda, a higher expression of the Ananda feature of the Lord. So it's not like we shouldn't have a compartmentalized understanding of the absolute truth. But it's one absolute truth, and then it's being experienced in like a spectrum. That's a better way of looking at it. So that there's Chit, there's Sat-Chit Ananda in Brahman, there's Sat-Chit Ananda in Paramatma, there's Sat-Chit Ananda in Bhagavan realization. But it's experienced by the jiva like a spectrum, according to his realization.
It's according to a different level of interactions that we have with absolute truth. But when we have that high level of interaction, then there is not, there won't be happiness by the other interaction. See, Sandarananda Visheshanma. If you are getting that, then you cannot consider. But we understand that everything comes from the Lord. Like when the Upanishad describe the impersonal aspect of the Lord, it's like if I'm saying now, oh, what such a beautiful rays of the sun. That doesn't mean that I'm saying that the sun is only the rays. But I am acknowledging the whole sun, but I'm just talking about this aspect. But doesn't mean that I don't have that understanding. So even the devotees, they can talk about, or even perceive, they perceive Brahman, and they can even highlight aspects of Brahman. But this, the understanding is complete, although they don't say it. So the Upanishad also have that understanding of completeness, but they may highlight, I can talk about the sun, about just the rays. So the devotees, they understand that the whole, everything comes from Bhagavan.
So the quick verification is that the person...
Isn't the same... there is one first. Sorry.
My question is on happiness too, so perhaps it can be considered as an extension to... thanks a lot for the insightful class. I like the way you explain how Krishna is actually detached, and because he's a source of happiness, he's actually, because of that reason and because he wants us to be happy, he wants us to go there. That's a very compassionate view of Krishna. So when Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gopakumar goes to the Golok Vrindavan, you can correct me, I heard that story a long time back, but I heard Krishna cries and weeps, It's like he was missing him. It's like just like when son visits his mother. His mother is crying and weeping, and the state of the mother was she has been missing him a lot. I felt that that's somewhat similar. So, would it be possible for you to elaborate further how it's possible for Krishna to miss his devotee and simultaneously have fun and be happy with other devotees there?
It's nice. So you are saying how the Lord can be like sad or feeling separation by his devotee and at the same time being enjoying another relationship. Well, he's absolute. But first we have to understand, Vanati Chakravarti Thakur said that if we understand that the Lord is inconceivable, then he's not inconceivable. So first we have to understand our limitation. We can try to approach in different ways. But you can have these different, like Prabhupada, he was concerned about the Mumbai temple, for example. Very concerned. Yeah, at one point of his life, he was writing letters. And he was concerned and unhappy with that issue. But simultaneously, he was leading conversation, very kirtans, and being encouraged the devotees with book distribution. I become very happy when I heard this book distribution going on. Simultaneously, when the Mumbai project was in problems, so he may have a relationship with a missing like aspects of Vrindavan, for example, because he was traveling and he always was remembering. Vrindavan, sometimes he will write in that mood, but at the same time he's enjoying with his disciples. I guess. And we have living entities who enjoy also like that. Like they, from one side they are sad, they lose their girlfriend, so they are sad, and then comes a friend and says, let's go to the bar. Have some enjoyment. And then his next minute he's enjoying on the other relationship, his friend, and forgetting about. Of course, this is not compared with the Lord. It's just to show that that we can also have that. So, but the Lord is inconceivable. So, but we understand that his experience of separation of so-called unhappiness is part of the Ananda potency of the Lord in him. It's not like us. Then Jai Jagannath Prabhu. Unlimited, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we become absorbed with that. One relationship or rasa is not it's not conflicting with other, because they can coexist simultaneously. He can be the son of Mother Yashoda and at the same time the lover. Thank you. Inconceivable potency, Prabhupada. Okay. Okay, last. Can I speak on the microphone?
That he reciprocate with the devotees individually according to the relationship?
I didn't catch.
He reciprocates with
his relationship?
Yes.
Because Gop Kumar has Yathama, simple answer.
Yeah. According to the way the devotees approach the Lord, he also is reciprocating with them. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. One announcement. I wanted to say. I have an email here. It's a request. I probably was told in the morning, but maybe for those who are. Here. A request from Nityananda Pram Prabhu. He will stay in a little bit more in India because his father is sick, and he's requesting that the devotees kindly can include his father in his prayers, so he can. He said, "May I request you to kindly keep my father in your prayers, and please include us so we can feel some strength and we extend our service to him." He's been in Chaupati now, the father, and having all the wonderful association of the devotees and all the mercy. We can include them when we chant japa to his father, so everything will be it come out in a, under the plan of Krishna and in an inspiring way for all. Okay. Yeah, his father, the six of his requests, to the devotee can include him in his prayers. Yeah.